This is the Brandt and Sherry podcast, sponsored by MediShare. For more info about the show or about Brandt's book, Unoffendable, check out BrantHansen.com.
So you may have a story like this, and it has to do with the football game tonight, but it's much bigger than that. The guy who is Dabo, is his name Swinney or Sweeney for Clemson?
Okay.
He's a coach. His name's Dabo because I forget what his real name is. It's something like Charles or something, but his brother called him that boy. So, and it came out Dabo.
Okay.
Like Dabo did it.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's his name. He didn't grow up with a lot of money, a lot of family problems, all that sort of stuff. It wound up, his roommate in college was his mom. While he was a football...
I heard some of this. Yeah.
What I love was, out of this, they just could not make ends meet very easily. So that's why they were doing that. He was at the University of Alabama himself. But what was such a thing that reminded me of my own mom and things that we had happen to us. They were short. He owed, because he was a walk-on on the team, he didn't get a scholarship. He owed $550 tuition money that they did not have, and rent. He was back rented like $450. So he didn't know what to do. He prayed, God help us. His mom was like, we're done. Like, God's got to help us here, or we're done. You'll have to drop out of school. He was on the football team, and he prayed, and then he went to the mailbox, and there was, this may sound silly to some people, like, well, yeah, that happens all the time, but they didn't have a credit line. There was a thing from Discover where it's like, here's a check for $1,000 credit line.
Wow.
And so he had just enough for the $550 and the $450 so that he could stay in school. And they were just, he remembers it because he's like, God has been so faithful to us over time. Whether you root for Clemson or Alabama, I don't care. It doesn't weigh into me. But I love stories like that where you can see people who are desperate and they cry out to God. And I've had that happen where God answers it in a way you don't forget. Totally feel for the field goal kicker for the Vikings yesterday. It was 27 yards. If you missed it, would have won the game. So everybody's talking about it. You ever try to kick a field goal, by the way? You ever go out on the football field?
Never. Never.
It's hard.
I'm sure it is.
I've kicked and kicked and kicked. And I can't. I know. For people are probably screaming at the radio going, dude, it's 27. He's a professional. It's 27. I know. I know. I'm just saying, when I go out on the field, I try to kick it through there. It wasn't even a straight shot. He's off to one side. You know, and not make excuses, but I feel for the guy. Imagine being on in front of millions of people and having that happen.
Or imagine just
three
having,
out of four.
Or just having a job where everything rides on you in a moment.
Right.
And just having all of that pressure on you. Again, we know he gets paid a lot of money to do whatever, but that's
I mean,
tough.
Actually, I'm starting to think, wait a second, I make a fool out of myself routinely on air, and I don't make that kind of money. But I still feel for him. He's got a lot more people dialed in. A lot of people freaking out because of Powerball, the lottery thing. The giveaway is going to be at $1.3 billion.
It's a lot of money.
It is. Here's the thing. They're like, well, but you're, you know, you got to play because your odds of winning, you know, if you don't play, you know, well, your odds of winning if you do play are like 1 in 300 million or something like that.
It's a stretch.
It's something similar to that.
Okay.
Maybe 200, 300 million. A friend of mine said it's like the odds of drowning and getting hit by lightning at the same time.
So, and someone's saying, well, you got to get in the water, though.
Right, right. Okay. Okay. But another friend of mine pointed out, he's like, yeah, but what are the odds of me finding a ticket on the street? And it turns out to be the winner. It can't be that much different. So he's like, I won't enter.
Okay.
And maybe I'll still win. Because you think about it, what are the odds of finding on the street? 1 in 350 million?
And then buying it is like 1 in 300 million. Not bad.
Yeah, you know, save some money and maybe win anyway. To make something clear, I'm not doing Powerball. That's not my style. I don't do money on lottery and stuff like that. And I don't even think it helps people's lives. In fact, it doesn't. It doesn't. They've done studies about this. It doesn't even help a person's life to,
oh,
win,
to win
the lottery.
Okay.
Yes, even if you win. Otherwise, the best thing that can happen is you waste some money.
You know what? I've seen those. I think shows
to
say that
terrible.
Your life has kind of goes downhill from there.
I was thinking, though, this is a huge amount of money. I'm still not playing.
Okay.
$1.3 billion. That's a lot. I was trying to do some of the calculations. That's like you could go to the movie theater once a week for a year and get like pop and popcorn.
Both? Large?
Both.
Large.
You could get Milk Duds. Now, normally you can't afford that at the movie theater. $1.3 billion. You could get printer toner for like 5 years.
Wow.
You could go to Disney World.
Mm-hmm.
Order hamburgers and fries for the whole family. At Disney World prices.
This is the life.
And it would be totally covered. You could go to the dealer and have them fix your car.
Oh, wow.
At the dealer.
Okay.
Like, it would cover 4 hours of labor.
At $700 an hour. I
see.
So, there's
a lot you could do with this. Maybe you write reviews for Yelp or Amazon, or there's reviews for everything. It's funny to read them on this side of things, because I wrote this book. I got a review of it, which was really interesting. This was like a published review in a magazine, and it was about Unoffendable. And it said a few places, like, this author, they're talking about me, is just intent on telling us he's not an expert. Well, if that's the case, why should we listen to him?
That's what they said in the review? Okay.
Like, really, why should you listen? I mean, like, he keeps trying to act like a normal guy. And that was a criticism against the book.
Mm-hmm.
I understand it, but I would say this. The reason I don't act like an expert is because I'm not an expert.
Mm-hmm.
That's why. And especially when you write about topics related to following Jesus, like to say, I have figured this out. If anybody comes across that way to me, I usually just kind of shut the book and shove it aside, because I know I've been around long enough, around church people, around big shot leaders too, around accomplished whatever. Like, yeah, you know what? You still struggle too. And here I'm writing about radical forgiveness. To act like, yeah, I figured this out. I know it's easy for me. Well, I'm an expert in forgiveness. Baloney. Anybody who says they're an expert in forgiveness, of course it's a struggle. And besides, if you need experts all the time, you really shouldn't, because you need to follow somebody else. You need to follow Jesus. Even Paul, who was wrote a lot of the New Testament, he said, oh yeah, you can follow me as I follow Christ. So we can all follow him together, but it's going to be all of us. And the way I put it with people is like, hey, If you want to follow along with me, we're going to follow Christ together, side to side, and we'll limp along if we have to, but we'll laugh about stuff together, but it's all going to be us. We're following somebody else. Maybe you're like this too. You really like interesting people. That's the way I am. I like, some people think they're annoying. Those are the people I like, the annoying people. Like, I want to hang out with you because there's usually something really interesting that's going on. So I have some friends that are really well-learned in certain fields. The wonderful thing about that, once you get to know these people, when they're humble, you can ask them questions like, man, I don't know. I don't know. Kind of wish that was used more often when it comes to Christian stuff.
It's not. It's almost wrong to say it, to say I don't know.
But it's, the funny thing is, like, the older a person gets, I equate that with maturity.
Yep.
Like, I don't have to make up an answer for you here. I don't know. Maybe you can learn about this and get back to me. Because there's so much mystery to God. And we can know him and get deeper and deeper in knowledge of him. But as you do, you find out there's more and more you don't know. There's so much to be learned. I think it's wonderful because it's not just a kid's book. The Bible is not just a kid's book where it's like, oh yeah, it's simple. Got it. No problem. No, there's a lot of mystery in there. I like that because I like finding out new things about God. Even in my marriage, we've been married a long time. I find out more about my wife all the time. I like that. It's true. They say this is the time of year when people are their most blue, like down, not feeling up, that sort of thing. I understand that. So banjo, all up in your face. This is what we do every Monday. It's our Monday tradition. If you clap or sing along, you will be in a better mood by the end of the song. It is guaranteed. Every Monday we do this. David Crowder Band. I saw the light. Here we go. Everybody.
I wonder so aimless life ever seen.
Sing along.
I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. When Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord. I saw the light. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more darkness. No more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Monday tradition. Tana Crowder Band.
News item about the way humans operate romantically, how they think about attractiveness, all of that sort of thing. Humans tend to rate people differently after they've known them for a little while. Guess we kind of knew that, but it's worth saying. They did a study with college students and they had them rate attractiveness of classmates or something. This is all cruel and shouldn't be done, but then they had them do it after the semester was over. Totally different rankings. Okay, same people.
So I don't know you and I give you a certain ranking, like a 4.
Yeah.
Then I get to know you. I think you're funny. Now I give you a 7.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Or conversely,
7 to 4.
I get to know you and yeah. Isn't that interesting?
So what does that mean, do you think?
I think it's hopeful. To me, this is hard to say. It's difficult, but I would like to think that personality matters a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think it does. And so this is just confirming that. I think we've all experienced that where you, at first, you think this person's attractive and then not so much later or vice versa.
Yeah, that's the hard thing. If you're going to go with that first ranking and then not get to know someone, then you may be shortchanging yourself.
There you go. I didn't actually know where I was going with this. Give people a chance.
Yeah, really.
That's what I was. If I was going to land the plane somewhere, it would have been
there.
But Sherry did it. That's where I was going. The big football game is tonight. If you want to feel informed, it's the NCAA championship game. Alabama, Clemson. That way you know what's going on. Are you going to watch it, Danielle?
No.
What if I told you that ESPN has declared it's going to be a mega cast? It's an ESPN mega cast of the game tonight. Does that change anything?
I'm not sure what that means.
I don't either.
So,
I have no idea what it is.
No. Only ESPN knows.
But they keep acting like we know what it is. Like, oh, megacast. Oh, I didn't know. Okay.
I mean, that is neat and everything, but...
Hey, wait a second. Maybe we do a megacast every day on our show.
Oh, that'll get them in.
We have declared this a megacast.
Brant Hanson Show megacast.
I hated this show until you...
Megacasting.
No, I didn't even know.
Oh, wow. Hey, when did they start megacasting? Oh, that was just yesterday. It was really good now.
Now it's good.
You may have seen this. This guy was on WGN TV in Chicago. They were doing an outdoor report about the weather, and this guy runs by with no shirt on because it was nice out during the winter. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about it. He shows up. Well, he's in good shape. And so women went crazy and inundated the TV station, hit him up on Facebook or Twitter, all this stuff. It was all about him. He just went viral. And he wrote an article a few days ago called "The Surprisingly Depressing Experience of Going Viral." And he says, you know, everybody wants to be known. And you think deep down that if millions of people are talking about you, then, hey, I'm known. But he said, it was actually depressing because I realized nobody knows me. He's getting all these marriage proposals from women. Of course, it's like flattering, and he acknowledges that on one level. It's like, hey, that's great. They think I'm attractive or whatever. But he's left actually feeling emptier. And here's why you feel emptier when this happens. I can tell you this too, because once you get to be known a little bit, even in my tiny little sphere of being known or whatever, it's never enough. Mm-hmm. And when you realize it's not going to be enough, you feel almost despairing. Like... So the thing I thought that was going to satisfy me isn't. This guy, his name is Ethan, is a believer in Jesus. So he actually says he's not surprised by the experience. He's like, because whatever hope I had in being significant this way, I guess deep down I knew it wasn't going to work anyway. But that's what he's found. He's like, you think you're going to be known? Nobody really knows you. And you're left going, when is enough attention ever going to be enough? Such a tricky thing about social media stuff. And you know this, if you've been on Twitter, Facebook, or anything, it's quantifiable, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so you look at, like, how many likes did I get or whatever. Answering the question, do you like me? Mm-hmm. Do you like me? Do you like me? Do 28 of you like me? How about 29?
Well, I always like when people declare, and I don't care if you like this or not. Well, then why are you saying it? Like, you are actually putting out here for us for us to notice and give you attention. And it's something that all of us.
Right. I know what you're talking about. Like, I'll just come out and say it. I don't care what anybody thinks. Like, well, then why'd you put it on?
Just don't say it then.
You have to.
Yeah, I think we all want that. And so we do it. I do it all the time. You post it and then you watch it like a hawk and like, oh, okay.
It happens. Both of us are on social media. We like it. We're not going off on it.
No.
I love how it allows us to connect to people, but it does. It has a quantifiable nature to it. This guy we were just talking about who went viral. And all these women think he's so attractive and stuff. He was on TV for a moment, but it just caught on. And he wrote this article called The Surprisingly Depressing Experience of Going Viral. He includes a quote from Tim Keller, and I love this quote. He said, you know what we really want is someone of ultimate glory loving us, not just love in general. What we need is the ultimate assurance of who we are, ultimate assurance of our worth. We need someone like that. Loving us like that. We need someone we think the world of, thinking the world of us. We need the praise of the praiseworthy. And I love that quote because that is what we're yearning for. But we'll try to get it any way we can. But ultimately, we're like, I want somebody who actually knows me, really actually knows me, to say you're worth this much. So thankful that you have joined us. And Melanie's on the phone. What are you up to, Melanie?
Doing a little bit of studying.
Really? What are you studying?
I am studying to get my alternative certification to be a teacher.
Oh, cool.
Wow.
Education theory type stuff, or what are you doing, like, today? Okay, if you have any questions.
Oh.
How to manage a classroom and what effective teachers do and don't do.
Oh, I got this.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, give us something here.
I acted like a complete tyrant. I sub-taught. I came in, and I was just giving out detentions left and right.
Double, as a sub?
Double, triple detentions, and I never had a problem again. After that first day, I was so horrible.
So that's why you did it, is so that you could establish
your
authority in the classroom.
Fear me.
Okay. Is that in your book there, Melody?
It says to not do that.
Mm-hmm. See?
See?
So many people get in trouble financially because of health care bills.
A lot of people.
You can be going just fine and then bam.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of stuck if you're like, well, I don't have a way to do this. Something called MediShare, and we're very thankful for them. They're a not-for-profit, and they actually sponsor our podcast, but we're real comfortable with them because of what they are. It's a nationwide community of believers who pay each other's health care bills. And it's cheaper than maybe other ways of doing it because it's not for profit and because of the way they do it. You're helping other people. Each mm-hmm. month, your check is paying for somebody else's needs. We did this sort of thing, too, and mm-hmm. it was wonderful. Paid our health care bills.
That's right, for your kids.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So if you're interested, go to biblicalhealthcare.com. This could wind up saving you hundreds of dollars a month. And there's an exemption under the Affordable Health Care Act. This counts. Phone number is 855-772-5699, 855-772-5699, or biblicalhealthcare.com. Golden Globes was last night. Ricky Gervais was the host. He's an outspoken atheist. And by outspoken atheist, I mean, he's like, I want to pick fights all the time on Twitter. Just like insulting.
Mm-hmm.
And I still like him. I think he's by and large, just really smart guy. The thing is that it keeps cropping up with him, and I've seen this with so many people. Maybe you know people like this. Maybe you struggle with this yourself, this question. A, lumping all religions in together and then going, look, we can do better than this. This is all a disaster. And the problem is when atheists are in control, it's just as disastrous or worse. All you have to do is look back in the last 100 years. And if people don't know, I know I'm a history nerd and nobody wants to hear a history lecture, but it really is true. Like the atheist regimes are worse. So when people say religion is the problem, they're ignoring something, which is humans are the problem. We're the problem, which happens to be exactly not what atheists say. They're trying to avoid the reality. It's what Jesus said. That's why for somebody like me, who's cynical about human nature, Jesus makes so much sense. He's the only one who acknowledges that we're, yes, it's called rebellion, it's called sin, it's pride, it's all that stuff. And then he actually does something about it. Nobody else does. To pretend that there's no such thing as sin, or to be like, no, it's better without, like, it's not. It never has been. Humans are the problem. That's the common denominator here. Jesus is the one who points it out. Sports are happening all around us. Tonight, there's a huge football game. It's huge. NCAA championship, Clemson, Alabama. Shireen
is on the phone. You're pretty amped about this?
No, actually, this is the first time hearing about it. So,
okay. So you're really not going to watch it.
Okay. Well, what if I told you that ESPN has announced that it's actually going to be a mega cast tonight?
Okay.
It's a mega cast.
I don't know what that means.
I don't either. But they keep saying it's a mega cast. Like, we're supposed to know what it means.
Oh, they are like, actually. I thought you were
making that up. Yeah, the mega cast starts at Morgan. It's going to be a mega cast tonight. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Mega cast.
How are we supposed to respond to the mega cast?
How then shall we live, ESPN?
But what would they have to do? This is my question for you. Like, to bring you into this and make you want to watch. What if it was a split screen? What would have to be on the other side of the screen?
Oh, good question.
Right now I'm watching a series called Father Brown, so probably that. It's like a mystery series.
So a split screen with Father Brown?
Yes. It's a British...
I know.
I don't know who Father Brown is. G.K. Chesterton's character?
Yes.
So it's like a British father.
Yes.
Isn't that a juxtaposition?
Yes.
American football.
That's a Chestertonian British series.
So on one side, we have the mega cast of the college championship, and Father Brown's on the other side.
Chesterton. That is awesome. This is going to come as a shock to some people who are sports fans, but it's true. Just telling you this because working in media, I've had the chance to get to know some people who play professional sports.
Mm-hmm.
The guys who play football may not be as into it as you are. It's true. I'm talking about NFL players. Now, they're trying to make a living.
Yes.
At a very dangerous thing. Their goal, they will tell you, this is off the record kind of stuff. I'm not going to tell you who says this because it looks bad for them. But their goal is to get paid and get off the field and then be done with football and be healthy. And the idea that the team lost, you might cry for a lot longer than they do. In fact, I talked with guys like during the season, they lose a game, and the next day, everybody else has been out of shape. But the fans are more upset than they see guys on like on the rival team. They're like, "Oh, we hate those guys." They don't generally hate them. They're like, "Let's get out of here without killing ourselves." That's really the way they feel.
Because we're working. It's like any other job in that if you could put yourself in that
mindset.
It's
gladiatorial combat, too. It's just like there's a kinship that happens. Like, let's just...
It is gladiatorial, huh? We're all sitting in an arena, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Look, I like sports, especially the statistics end of it, but I like all of it. But all that to say, it is good for perspective as you become an adult. It does get you down when your team loses, you know, in the end. And it's hard to take, but... We shouldn't really shouldn't have our perspective so skewed that we take it more seriously than the guys who are actually playing.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. The Brad and Sherry podcast is sponsored by MediShare. To find out more about MediShare, call 855-772-5699.